To God for the gift of the choir to center us for music for Siyahamba, which is Zulu from South Africa. Thank you, and Lori, and also for noting how the stress melts away when a choir sings. Grateful for each and every one of you, and remind you to, as you feel led and comfortable, if you have a story of generosity from this past year of how God has been generous to you, of how you have persevered through some hard times, and you wanted to share that in the chat, share a tidbit of that. We'd love to hear from you today as we celebrate stories of generosity in our church and look ahead to the stories that we are yet to tell together with God's help. Will you pray with me? Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Holy Spirit, move afresh in this community of faith, that though this day we may be feeling meek, we may be feeling afraid and nervous and anxious about all that is to come and all that we face, may your Spirit fill us and encourage us and equip us. May we grow connected, deeply rooted in your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our risen Savior, we pray, amen. Friends, I was at a conference several years ago centered around the doctrine of discovery, which is a set of laws and policies and theological ideas even that were developed in the church of Europe and in the kingdoms and monarchies there and the system there to sort of justify the taking of land from indigenous communities all here in this American world, North America, South America, Central America, Caribbean. So it's always a difficult conference. We talk about pain and suffering and we talk about history, and it's very, very uncomfortable. But yet, even in the midst of that challenging conversation that we had with people from all over North America gathered there in Fort Worth, Texas, to have this sacred conversation, there was reason to celebrate. There were gifts given. In fact, there's always a time of that conference that we share gifts with one another before we depart. And so people bring things from their home or things that they have crafted with their own hands, things that come from their landscape to give. And one of our guests there with us, a conversation partner with us, came from Canada, a wonderful indigenous leader from her community in Canada. And she stood up during that time and said, unfortunately, I don't have a present. I didn't bring anything to give, but I will give you a story. And then over the next few minutes, she shared a story with us as a gift, a story from her experience, a story of faith, of her ancestors, of perseverance and hope and courage, even in hard times. And I remember seeing from others there, open hands to receive that story and cradle it for what it meant for them. You know, the truth is we share so many acts of generosity that we share. Sometimes it is about gifts that are real and tangible that we give one another, that we go out of our way. Our church has been a part of that this year in particular with our Blessing Box ministry. Katrina Dodra, our education coordinator, who's doing a wonderful job and has been really helping lead our youth group and get our youth group organized, she approached our youth group, and first they did a series of conversations about food scarcity, about food insecurity, about ways that we are called as people of faith, as Christians, to feed those who are hungry. And we also talked about the immense challenges in the world and even in our own community and some of the ways that we're wasteful with food, perfectly good food that we toss out, things that we could do better, even small steps. And out of that came this idea to create a blessing box. She had identified an old piece of furniture, and we had the youth gather. Scott Dodger did a great job kind of refurbishing it some, and then the youth painted it so it would withstand the elements. And then with the help of Laurel Morrison and others, we were able to install it right up here in the front of our property here, our campus. And let me tell you, this was a bit of an adventure. We had no idea what to expect. We knew there was immense need during this pandemic for food. There were many people standing in long lines to get food, especially folks in our community who are undocumented. Folks who couldn't access resources, or folks who were afraid to access resources because of what it might meant in a time especially when it seemed like immigration enforcement was the focus of the previous administration. They were afraid. So they had very few resources to turn to, and so many in our community, seniors especially, and families who are out of work, who had seasonal type of work, and now we're in a world of hurt. We knew that need existed, but we didn't know if a blessing box was going to do anything. We didn't know what to expect, and so it was sort of a soft launch. It went up. We started to slowly put things in it, and you know what? This whole ministry ballooned. It grew quickly. It was a story of generosity that we have experienced in our midst and in this community in the ways it's building new relationships, new communities, new friendships in our midst. Because not only did we have church members who give generously and donate money and come by and swing by and bring canned goods and other items to place in there, on many days, I can walk down here to the sanctuary and watch and look out the windows and see neighbors that we don't even know, neighbors who live in this community who are stopping by on the way from the grocery store, who have set aside something from their pantry to drop off families and individuals who have just seen this as an opportunity to help someone in need. We've been able to renew our partnership with the city of Hyattsville through the Capital Area Food Bank, and they drop off boxes of food. The day center takes out different items to put in their different toiletries and things, toothbrushes and napkins and things for people who might need it. We've had folks make Costco runs. We had one of our members who works at CVS who picks up, I think, items that are going to be expiring there and brings them here to share. And then to look out and see the families and people from all walks of life who come and need something to help supplement their meal for the day, to need something to get through a tough week. One of the moving stories that impacted me so much was I saw a family pull up, a mother with two little children, 6 and 3 years old. And I went out there, and because there wasn't a whole lot to in there. And as I walked out, the little girl had a bag, a plastic bag. She had walked up to the six-year-old. And I noticed as I walked up, I said, oh, there's not much in there. Let me bring some things out to at least put in there so they'd have something. But I noticed she was putting items from her bag into the pantry, into the blessing box. And then the mother came up and picked out some items, too, that they needed. So they had something to share. They had something to respond. They gave back a little bit from what they could, what they knew they wouldn't use, even as they took what they knew they needed to get through that week. And it was a gift because even that day, one of our church members had brought a whole bunch of things from CVS, which happened to have some mayonnaise and mustard. And the little girl said, mayonesa, which I'm doing a terrible job of that, but in Spanish she was saying mayonnaise, and I didn't understand. I said, And she said, mayonnaise. Can we have some mayonnaise? Can we have some mustard? And it was such a gift that literally those items had been dropped off that morning, just in a sense of knowing that this family who needed a little something extra was going to be there to receive. Church, we have seen stories of generosity at work in our lives this past year. It has been a hard year. We've lost some dear church members. We've been through grief and challenge. We've had some folks who have decided to move on and look for other places to grow and thrive, and we have blessed them. We have grown in ways through Bible study and worship. We have grown in relationship through calls and text messages and emails. We have grown through these stories and acts of generosity of how God has shown up in our midst, even when we were not sure there was enough to get through the next month. We have grown through acts of generosity that helped us do a kitchen remodel in the midst of this time, work on a new roof over this leaky area of our sanctuary. We have had acts of generosity through time and service and talent. God has been at work in our midst. In our scripture today that Nora did a wonderful job reading, Jesus is praying his final prayer for his disciples there in the upper room. Now, in the Gospel of John, they don't have a Passover meal, but Jesus' act of love is to wash his disciples' feet. And then, as we heard last week, he commands them to love one another as I have loved you. So there in that intimate space with the disciples gathered around, with an uncertain future lying ahead as Jesus goes up to, prepares to go to the cross, prepares to be arrested and tortured and crucified and murdered and placed in a tomb, Jesus prays with his disciples. And it's such an intimate prayer that reminds his disciples that they are rooted in him and he is, that they are rooted in him, that he is rooted in God, and that together that is how they abide in the true vine. That is how they know that they belong to God and God belongs to them. And he prays. He prays that they would stay deeply connected. He prays that God would go with them into the uncertain future that they face. He prays for protection for them because the world that they would go into would reject them, would hurt them. The world would call them names and push them away. In the words of theologian Claudio Carvalhais, he writes that we live, that Jesus' words mean this: we live in this world, but it feels like we don't belong here because what gives life is constantly being destroyed. Jesus knew that the way that he enacted in the midst of his disciples was a way that the world would try to destroy, the world would try to reject, a way of love and compassion and fullness and wholeness in a world of injustice and oppression. So Jesus knew as he prayed for protection for his disciples that he would send them into a world of conflict and challenge, a world of change, a world of pandemics. Jesus prayed that they would know and stay connected and rooted in God, that they would know that they are loved and they would stay true to that vision that Jesus gave to them, to love one another as he loved them. And then a little bit later, he says to sanctify them in the word. What a prayer that Jesus says. Sanctify is the same word that we heard earlier in our service with the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name. Holy be your name, O God. Sanctify them in your word. Let them be holy as they are grounded in your word, O God. The disciples were set apart for this mission and ministry because Jesus goes on to say, I send them into the world as you have sent me. I send them into the world as you have sent me. These disciples are sent, protected and guarded and equipped to go and create the same stories of generosity that they found in Jesus' presence all throughout his ministry. The same abundance that Jesus gave to them when he broke bread and blessed it and gave it to them, when he shared fishes and loaves to feed a hurting, hungry crowd, when he blessed and healed those who were blind, those who couldn't get up, those who were overlooked and oppressed by the world around them, for those who felt excluded and outcast. These were the stories of generosity that Jesus brought forth in their midst and in his landscape, and that now he sent his disciples to go and tell, equipped and protected and guided by God as they stayed rooted in Jesus and Jesus' love. Friends, that's our message today. That's why we gather in the stewardship season, even in the midst of a difficult year, to tell stories of generosity, to give thanks, to be grateful for ministries like the Blessing Box, which remind us as a church that we are still sent. We are still sent and called to be a mission church to find a hurt, to find a need and show up and be present and be vessels for God's love to be made manifest in this world. The Gospel of John as a whole is a story that God is love and God sends his Son incarnate. God comes to walk with us. God in flesh, love made flesh. And here in our scripture today, Jesus sends his disciples to go and be flesh in this world. As you think about your estimate of giving today, as you think about a commitment you can make to this church with your time, with your resources, with your gifts, your talent, I just want to say in advance, thank you. Thank you for being willing to be sent afresh by Jesus at our busy intersection, to be a part of this community where together we can do so much more. We can feed those who are hungry. We can be there for those who are homeless. We can be there for each other. We can support our youth and our young people. We can sing and praise and worship and wrestle with Scripture together and stay deeply rooted in God's Word, be sanctified by that Word for the work we are called to do. There are so many stories of generosity we have to share, and I want to hear yours. We want to hear yours as a church. We're always going to try to make a space in worship in the coming weeks for a testimony, for you to share just how you have experienced God's generosity in your life, even in this difficult time. Share that with us. We'd love to hear your story. We'd love to celebrate the ways that you have been able to respond with generosity as God has been generous to you. We are sent, friends. One of the stories from my own life when I was younger and as a bit of a knucklehead, as we might say, when I was maybe 4 or 5 years old, I was standing on the outside of my house. I was playing outside by myself, and I had the brilliant idea to try to throw rocks from one side of the street to the other side of the street. So I'd grab a rock and stand there in the ditch and toss it over the other side, and that was easy. But then there were a few cars that would come and make their way up and down the street. And so I got this idea, what if I could throw the rock over the car as it passed into the ditch? That sounds really challenging. I wonder if I could do that. First car came by, I tossed that rock and went right over, and it was pretty cool. The second car came by, I tossed the rock, and it hit the car, bounced off. It was a nice kind of, it was like a Lincoln or something like that, a white, nice white car. The lady driving the car, well, she slammed on her brakes, the car screeched. She rolled down the window, and she yelled at me. And I was probably, you know, I was like 4 or 5 years old or so. I was scared and petrified and embarrassed. She said, "Don't you know how expensive cars are? You can't be throwing rocks." She chewed me out. I froze. And then she rolled up her window and began to leave. Somehow at that point, my mom, who had been inside the house, I guess she heard that car screech. She went to the door, saw what was going on, and she ran outside. Suddenly she was coming, and I saw her coming, and I knew I was in big trouble. I was in big time trouble. So I took off running up the street, crying, "Oh no, you know, I'm in big trouble." Somehow, my mom was super fast. I don't know to this day how. She ran after me, caught up to me about a half a block away. And I thought I was in for a big punishment. She ran after me, closed her arms around me, and held me close. Said, "It's okay. It's okay." When I think about the story of the gospel of God's generosity for us, friends, Jesus sends us like he came to us. Though we might feel ashamed at times, though we might feel overwhelmed and burdened, though we might feel lost and afraid and so overwhelmed by the violence and oppression of this world, Jesus runs out to us. Even when we try to run away ourselves, ashamed of what we have done to each other and how we've treated each other or how we haven't been as generous as we might have wanted to be or thought we should be, Jesus chases after us, comes to us, encircles us, and says, "It's okay. It's okay." And then sends us out to do that with others in our lives. Friends, let's go and tell some stories of generosity.